Welcome back to The Takeaway. Todd Zwillick with you today. You know, everyone goes to work and puts up with things that you wouldn't otherwise tolerate. Sometimes it's just what you gotta do to get a paycheck.
This is Daniel from Dallas, Texas. My coworkers are all middle-aged and up. I'm 22 myself. And they are constantly making homophobic and sexist remarks. As an LGBT person, I would never tolerate this anywhere else. But if I come out at work, I can easily be fired because Texas law doesn't protect me from employment discrimination based solely on my sexual orientation or gender identity.
Well, our next guest can certainly relate. Brittany Bronson is an English instructor at the University of Nevada in Las Vegas, and she's also a cocktail waitress in America's most scandalous town. And she's dealing with a dilemma that a lot of us might be familiar with, tolerating some bad behavior at work that she otherwise would never tolerate in the real world. And in Brittany's case, it's constant sexual harassment. The trade-off is better tips, but it's a compromise that she's not entirely comfortable with.
What I'm doing at work is more of a performance, and how I'd react outside of work is more truly reflective of kind of my ideas and what's important to me. So in this case in particular, when a man makes a sexist comment or makes an advance that I find inappropriate, I have to act in a different way for the sake of my job.
So just understanding how this dynamic works, Brittany, when you're a cocktail waitress and you're subjected to sexualized comments or even touching or stares or suggestions that you might be available for services after work, things like that. Is this all part of the Las Vegas sort of tourist fantasy, or is this a common experience, do you think, that a lot of people in your position, whether in Las Vegas or not, experience on a regular basis?
I definitely think that it's exemplified in Las Vegas, and that I'm serving drinks, I'm in a revealing outfit, I'm walking around, and obviously people are coming to let loose and feel that they want to have a sexual encounter, or they are soliciting that as they're in Vegas. And that's kind of the stereotype. But I found, regardless of the restaurant that I worked in, this isn't an unusual thing. It might happen more often because I'm in an environment that's hypersexualized. But when I've worked in other states, sexual harassment has occurred just as frequently.
And so you write about this conflict within yourself. In the outside world, I'm a feminist. I teach about feminism. I consider myself a feminist who wouldn't stand for this type of behavior in the local big box store shopping.
Right.
But at work, it's different.
Yeah, it is. If some of the men said to me in a store what they said to me in a restaurant, I would say something back. I would walk out. I would exit from the situation. But in a restaurant setting where I'm meant to be cordial and have a relationship with my guests, I'll laugh or I'll make a joke or I'll smile and pretend that I'm on board, even though inside I don't feel comfortable with what comment is being made, or if a hand is on my shoulder, is on my hip, or a guest hugs me or puts me in their arms or something like that. I kind of tolerate it, or I excuse it, because I've, in a way, come to accept that maybe it's a part of my job.
And you say you've left your feminism at the casino door because if you stand up for yourself, you won't make money. It's as simple as that.
I do feel that way. I feel that I can handle excusing it. I'm tough enough to get through it in order to protect that tip that I need and that I want. So I make a kind of compromise for the sake of making and ensuring and protecting my income.
You know, on the other hand, Brittany Bronson, there's nothing that's right about that behavior, but I'm reading your piece thinking there's part of this, you know, all of us in our jobs exercise some depersonalization if we want to be successful. There are jerks everywhere, and that's not to say that any part of you should be okay with this behavior, but even outside of the cocktail bars and the restaurants and the casinos of Las Vegas, every single person probably at some point has to put aside someone else's jerky behavior and say, if I react the way I really want to, I'm probably not going to be able to work here anymore.
Absolutely. I agree. I think all jobs have a kind of performative element or a kind of moment when you have to just get over it, per se, or move on or kind of sweep a blanket under the rug. But I think what I'm trying to point out is that for women in the service industry, not just those who are in a highly sexualized position like mine as cocktailing, but across the country, have to deal with this at a much more frequent rate and much more frequently than their male colleagues working the same position. So it's more about the disproportionate experience for people in my industry. A recent report called The Glass Floor, put out in October by the Restaurant Opportunity Center, states that those states with the tipped minimum wage, where servers can be paid as low as $2.13 an hour, they're twice as likely to experience sexual harassment than servers in states like mine, where we make the state minimum wage. Or here in Las Vegas, many servers make union wage because our restaurant jobs are such a vital part of our economy that they're protected. So in that case, the research shows that the more crucial that tip is as your income versus a steady wage, the more likely you are to excuse sexual harassment and to interpret it as less severe or as not as much of a problem because you understand that your income might come as a result of you tolerating it. I have to admit that a problem is I am desensitized so much that I'm continuing to allow it just for the sake of getting to the end of my shift and leaving with the income that I need to survive outside of work.
So what's the feminist conclusion here? I mean, you lay out really clearly your experience, and a lot of it is really demeaning, I have to say. You also say that some of your female colleagues find a way to capitalize on this. You do capitalize on it, of course. What's the bottom line here? Are you comfortable in the end with the way you're making all this extra money at night, or is it something you feel deep down you shouldn't be participating in?
It's something that I've personally have come to peace with in terms of saying that this is my job, this isn't my identity, and my job is just my job. But I think that it's a reality that for working class women, it can be more difficult to like access kind of those feminist ideals, or they can be less practical. And I think for women working in service positions, especially in other states, unlike mine, where it's not necessarily a lucrative income, it's not necessarily an income that can provide a middle class living. It provides an income closer to poverty. And I think that the feminist conclusion to make is I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm a bad feminist, and I think that's what I'm trying to put out, that I don't necessarily know how to reconcile, but I just wanted to have the conversation and get the conversation started because I know a lot of women and my colleagues that I've met my years working in the service industry have expressed this similar kind of internal dilemma of they're not always sure the best way to deal with this problem.
Brittany Bronson is a cocktail waitress in Las Vegas. She is also an instructor at the University of Nevada in Las Vegas and an opinion contributor at the New York Times. Brittany Bronson, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.